going to take it. Got it! Boston wins!
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Bob Ryan. And Bob, we have no shortage of storylines to talk about. On the court, off the court, injuries, protocol. Upsets, 49-point, you know, historic performances. Where do you want to start? I mean, I'm gonna give the floor to you. And like, where do we start with this?
I'm afraid I have to start in a negative, and that is this. When the look back takes place on the 2021 NBA playoffs, no matter who wins, the number one story is going to be who didn't play, and how often people didn't play. I think it will be the look back. The injury is overshadowing some of the good stuff. And last night was an example of the good stuff, you know, the games, particularly the comeback game, but you know, there's just so much to story. And then if it's not that, it's, you know, Chris Paul suddenly after playing a phenomenal game. Now the next morning we find out he's entered the COVID protocol. All right, so I mean, I'm afraid it's dominant, you know, whether it's Kawhi or whether it's the Nets situation, whether it's
Mike Conley,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Mike Conley.
Mike Conley hasn't played at all. Right. And then Atlanta would like to have DeAndre Hunter.
And
Philadelphia would like to have Danny Green, you know. Yeah. And so it's just on and on and on. Okay, all right, there's that. Now, but let's get to a positive. Or when you have a thing in which a team is up by 26 and does not win a game, invariably, it is a story of two things. One, what you didn't do, and two, what they did do. And maybe there's a more weight, I think, this time in what somebody didn't do than what they did.
Yeah, and not that they come,
but Philadelphia.
It's hard, Bob, it's hard when you have a player who is 1A or 1B as a star on your team who cannot make free throws and the ball has to be in his hands, right? Yeah, like he's such a good playmaker, but when you can't make free throws, and we saw it the night before with Giannis as well, right? Like when your best player, and I'm not saying Ben Simmons is your best player. He's two, but he's close to Joel and he's got the ball in his hands a lot. Same thing with Giannis. If your best player or you're kind of one of your go-to guys cannot make free throws, it is awfully difficult to win in this day and age in the NBA.
I don't recall, always be judicious with the use of the words always and never, but I don't recall ever seeing Haka Ben in the first half.
It's ridiculous. 3 minutes left in the first half.
That's a new one for me, and that's pathetic. Yeah. I'm fed up with him. I don't have any sympathy for him. Zero.
Yeah.
And that goes with the whole three-point shot thing, because it's not just three-point shot. If there was no arc out there, Jeff, and the thing would be the guy can't shoot from 18, 19, 20, 21. Forget about the arc.
Can't shoot.
He gotten this far? Well, he's gotten this far because he's 6'11", and he can handle the ball, and he has a feel for that aspect of the game, and he can defend. So that's how he's gotten this far.
He can pass. He can rebound. He can defend. He can do everything but shoot the ball, Bob. But last I checked, you need to be able to shoot the ball these days.
I'm fed. I have no – and I want to know that how he got this far. I don't know. I want to know. And at the end of that rookie year – now, they drafted him knowing who he was. So, they drafted him number one.
Yeah.
LSU went nowhere with him, as I recall.
Nowhere. No,
there's no factor in winning games in the SEC. So they take him anyway. After that rookie year, what I do and what you would have done and what any intelligent and rational person would have done is lock him in a gym 3 hours a day.
That's right.
And have it armed guard so he can't escape. And he's going to go and shoot jump shots until his hands bleed. They didn't do it. I don't think they did it.
We're in year five. He's now in year five, year four that he's playing. But yeah, here's his free throw percentages. Now, this in the postseason, it's been atrocious. His free throw percentage is 56%, 60%, 62, 61 for a guard. Like, it's one thing if it's Shaq, right? But for a guard, there is no excuse for this. And I do blame Philadelphia management and Brett Brown. And I love Brett Brown. I hate to say this, but I blame Brett Brown, because what Brett Brown needed to do was tell Ben Simmons, listen, again, if you don't shoot three threes today, you're not playing anymore. You're not playing. I don't care if you miss in the regular season. The regular season doesn't matter to us right now. We're looking at the future, so that right now Ben Simmons would have progressed at this point and wouldn't be here.
No, it's an untenable situation. They're not going to win. I don't ultimately with him in this state that he's in. He's still young. It's still possible. It's possible. We've seen and I'll give you an exhibit A that of what can be done. Brook Lopez, who not enough attention has been paid to his astonishing transformation. And just go look at the numbers of what he was as a strict aircraft carrier, low post center, never shooting a three. The only threes I'm sure he took in those years were at the end of the clock.
Yeah.
Or maybe the period, right? A desperation into what he's become, which is a major threat.
So, anyway. All right. Can we talk about the elephant in the room now? And I know you don't want to talk about this elephant, because this is going to hurt you personally. This is going to hurt you.
It's Doc's legacy, which is another log
on Leeds.
Another log on the fire if they lose this series.
Oh, Bob, this one would be absolutely miserable for Doc. I mean, again, he's had him in Boston. He had him in L.A. Now to have this one against an Atlanta team that they have no – they're healthy. Like, Joel's pretty healthy. I mean, I know he's banged up, but he's fine. Ben Simmons is fine. Danny Green's hurt. I get it. But Danny Green's still Danny Green. They've got enough. I mean, Thibault's a terrific defender. Seth Curry was great last night.
He was fantastic, yeah.
You know, there's no excuse for this if you're Doc Rivers. There's none.
No, I mean, you know how I'm bleeding. I feel awful. I was communicating with him yesterday morning, having some fun, just joking around with stuff. Never. Oh my God, it was awful.
Well, because you thought it was a given they were going to win last night.
26.
They go up 20. What is it, 26 points?
They came out of the half a little sluggish, I thought, but they had it up. They got it. Then they got it back. And I can still remember that timeout. 11. They're up 11 at that point when he was saying, it's not about tonight. It's about habits. It's about the big picture. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, it was dreadful, totally dreadful. Yeah, no, this is going to be bad. It'll come down. It'll reflect awfully on him. Now, it's not. I've seen enough games. I've seen 3-2s going back home. I've seen 3-2s going. I mean, I covered more than one. So I go. 1988, which set up the Dominique Lowry shootout, with Celtics had to win Game 6 in Atlanta, which they did.
Yep.
And I'm sure we can find other examples of this. So, it's not saying it can't be done, but that was an opportunity that should not have been squandered at all.
Do you think the Sixers win this series, or do you think Atlanta wins it now?
If I had to, make a choice, I'm afraid Atlanta will win, but they win that Game 6.
We got to give Atlanta some credit, Bob, too.
Oh, like, well, the kid, let's start with the kid.
Yeah, I mean, Trae Young has made me a believer on the offensive end completely. Now, again, defensively, it's a different deal. But you know what? If you're scoring 30 every night, even if you give up 20, you're okay. He's just terrific at, again, the combination. He can shoot it from deep. That floater is amazing. Bob.
I love it. I love the floater. I'm a big floater fan, and I love him. I like the fact that he did what he did last night with only two threes. Yeah. You know, it was a he got to the line. How about that one up fake? And right in front of Doc, too. You know that a professional should know you can't bite. You can't on the three-point shot. Don't bite. Don't bite. They do it. We see it. How many times every night do we see it in these playoffs where the best teams are supposedly playing? And we still see that they can't restrain themselves from diving into the three-point shooter. Oh, anyway.
All right.
He's tremendous. Bogdanovich was.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, listen, they're a good team. He says it after every game when they ask him. And Trae Young just says, like, we've got good chemistry. We like. And they're playing with nothing to lose. They're not supposed to be here. So they're loose. Philly's tight. And Philly doesn't have a guy. Again, they don't have that guy that they can put the ball in their hands and just say, go make a play. Like, think about it. Phoenix has two. They got Chris Paul and Devin Booker, right? Brooklyn, whether you have Harden, Kyrie or not, you've got KD. Just put it in his hands and let him go to work, right?
Yeah.
Utah has Donovan Mitchell when he's healthy. Like, that's the difference, is really Philly does not have that guy. They don't have that guy because if you give the ball to Ben in the last few minutes of a close game, you're going to foul him.
No, and Seth was tremendous last night, but he's not that guy.
Not that guy.
He was tremendous.
Let's get to Milwaukee now, because I think it's similar to some extent with Giannis. Now, I still think Milwaukee can come back and win the series. And win the whole thing. I'm not counting them out, because if Kyrie's not playing, which he's not, and Harden's still not Harden, which he's not going to be, it's going to take another ridiculous out of this world performance from KD. I don't know if he can duplicate it, but 49's 49, Bob. And, you know, I'm not sure he makes, you know, that three at the end of the shot clock, you know, I don't know how many times he makes it. You know, you make that 3 out of 10. I know you're KD, but you're not making that consistently. That was an amazing shot from an amazing player. He's the best player on the planet today. Right today, now, Bob, he's better than LeBron James is. And he should be. LeBron James is 36.
And the other thing is, he will guard you too.
Right.
And that's important. So when we're talking about this whole, you know, best of the time, I totally agree with it. Now, that was a transcendent performance, one of the great player performances that I've ever seen. And in the context, you know, it wasn't just a game one, it was a vital game, right? and a vital circumstance with Kyrie out and with Harden, you know, just a decoy, more or less, to say the least. And he did what he did. I totally salute him, but he's going to have something, at least 80% of that effort, I think, to get it done.
Right. That's my thing is Milwaukee. They just, I worry about Giannis. I do. I worry about him mentally a lot. You could see it in his, you know, with his mannerisms, and, you know, when Middleton passed him the ball at the end there. And
that was awful. You can't fumble the ball.
You know what it was. You know what the problem was.
You didn't want to get fouled?
Correct. He was rushing because he didn't want to get fouled. So he's trying to catch the ball and go up quickly and go up strong and make sure he dunked it, because he did not want to go to the line, period. And maybe Rick Barry should take he and Ben Simmons under his tutelage this offseason.
Yeah, shoot underhand too. How about that? Now, let's get to the big issue with Giannis, which is Mike Budenholzer, Mr. Budenholzer. How can you not have him guard Durant in those?
You got to try, right? You got to try.
How can it not even be that? That shouldn't even be an issue. If you're supposed to be a defensive player of the year caliber player,
right?
And it's not all about shot blocking like Rudy Gobert, or those kind of players. Then how can he not be on him? What is that? That's all Budenholzer.
You got it. You got to at least give him a shot, right? You got to rotate. If you want to do something, rotate Middleton and Giannis and switch him up. If you want to keep Giannis
Tucker fresh. With the bodying, but right. Give him different looks, but give him Giannis look at least sometime.
Yeah, I get it. You probably want to keep Giannis fresh, as fresh as can be. But when you see that it's KD and nobody else out there, you say, like, all right, let's try this. He's already gone for 40. He's shooting right over Chris Middleton. We know that. P.J. Tucker.
Shot he wants there.
Yeah, I mean, P.J. Tucker's 6'3". I mean, KD's going to do what he wants against him, no matter how tough P.J. Tucker is. It's funny. I was asked this question yesterday, and it was a two-part question. It was basically, do you think Giannis is overrated, number one, and can win a title? And I said, I think he is overrated, number one, but I still think Milwaukee can win the title. I really do. I believe that, Bob, because what they are is still the healthiest team of any team out there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they are. So, you know, if it's just like KD and KD has a mortal performance, then, and there's no Kyrie and Harden looked like the Harden from the end of his Houston days.
We've seen KD. There was a 9-for-26 game, as I recall, already in this series. It can happen. There's no certainties. I mean, this is the thing we have to stress, that you predict anything with these teams at your own peril.
Right.
I mean, it just sit. I don't want to indulge in it. Just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just.
It's more fun.
They're too vulnerable. They're too mortal. There are too many ifs and buts and on all of them, you know.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it, but I'm a little, but I'm always, you know, disappointed with what I call loose ends, and these injuries, you know, do have loose, you know, put a loose end factor. And then
you're not missing LeBron, though, are you? You're not missing LeBron.
I'm not missing LeBron. It's like I never missed Tiger. It's the same thing. I mean, there's other guys out there. There's plenty of players. I don't need that one guy.
You miss Jokic. Hey, you miss Jokic more than you miss LeBron. I know you.
Yeah, of course. You know, yeah, but I don't miss any. There's plenty of ones left. But still, the injury thing is so overriding. And then you throw in, I'm jumping now, the Paul thing, which came out of what? Whoa, this is right after we had seen him play this phenomenal game.
And he's been vaccinated. I think he'll be fine. I expect, and I don't have any inside info, but I expect Chris Paul to play game one.
Well, the good thing is, obviously for them, the lucky thing is that they can't start any earlier than Sunday, and it very likely won't start until Tuesday or Wednesday. Yep. So I think that he'll be playing.
There could be much to do about nothing.
You know what I have to say about that game? What I love most about that game that he played is that he had a pure, real box score that did not depend on a shot being 1 inch behind an artificial arc instituted in 1961 by a promoter named Abe Saperstein that has infested the game of basketball and ruined it in so many ways. 14-9-37. That's what I grew up with, and that's what he had. And I should frame that box score and send it to everybody. That's
He's
a real
throwback, Bob.
Box score.
Throwback. He is a complete throwback in every sense of the word.
And the dreaded 2-point shot. Oh my God! He made 8 in a row of them, right? At one point in the mid range. Wonderful performance. It was a tremendous performance. And he's one. You know, I'll be honest. I was never the biggest.
Me either.
I wasn't negative, but I wasn't. It was he's okay. He's good. He's gonna. You know, he's really good. I know, but I never thrilled me. But boy, what I'm seeing now is a professional slicing and dicing.
did I tell you? Have we talked about my Chris Paul story on here? When I asked them about Donald Sterling years ago and why we don't talk?
Go. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So it was out in Vegas the year that all the Donald Sterling stuff kind of went crazy. And I think Doc had said, right? Hadn't Doc said he wasn't going to potentially coach? Was it right? Was it? I don't know. Anyway, CP3 was out there in Vegas coaching an AAU team. He does it every year. Mm-hmm. Carmelo coached one team. Chris coached another team. I went up with, you know, recorder in front of his face, asking him a bunch of questions. One of which was, you know, basically, would you play, you know, will you play for Donald Sterling next year? And then we talked about his AAU program and obviously he's unbelievably involved in the program. Shows up all summer for his team, works with the kids, whatever. So we talked about that too. Well, obviously, I'm writing the story for ESPN. They don't give a you-know-what about his involvement with the AAU program. So, obviously, you know, I write it. The lead is about his comments about whether or not he'd play for Donald Sterling next year. So they cut everything at the bottom. Any AAU stuff I put down the bottom. I knew they were going to cut it, to be honest. I mean, but I tried to put it in there at the bottom, and they cut it, and next thing you know, I get a call like an hour later. I'm at lunch with a few guys in Vegas and I get a call and he's all upset that I wrote it. And I said, Chris, what did you think? Like I had a recorder and you knew you were being recorded. You knew it was on the record. You knew if you're going to talk about Donald Sterling, that's going to be the news. And literally we haven't talked since then. You know, that's, I don't know how many years ago that was, six years ago.
Back a few.
He'll walk by me now and not look at me. And I don't, it doesn't matter to me. I'm doing my job. I mean, it's like, you know, anyway, but getting back to it, listen, I have the ultimate respect for Chris Paul, the player, the leader, the guy who always comes out ready to play. And I've been told by plenty of people who played with him and coached him and been around him. They'll say, like, he's like this in the summer. Like, this starts in the summer with, like, young players. Every time they go on the court, there's no screwing around. It's, like, to win and to try to teach these guys how to play the right way. And, listen, it'll be kind of cool for him to have a chance to maybe win an NBA championship now.
Well, I mean, it's the last cherry left on that sundae he needs, and he needs at least to get to the finals. Yeah. He really needs that. I mean, because that was a year, but nothing. Look, he's going to Hall of Fame first bout. We know that. But in terms of having a seat at that final, that the big table, you know, the really inner sanctum table, he needs at least to get to a finals once. And I think this is obviously a real shot that they have to do that.
This episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Because they are focused on managing and growing their business, they can't always spend the time that they wish on recruiting. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made things easier than ever for you to find and hire the best candidates for free. Get started by posting your job for free on LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. Fill out targeted screen questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with experience, skills, and motivation that you need. Then use simple tools to filter and prioritize the top candidates that you wish to interview. And it is that easy. LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire the right person for your role. And your first job post is absolutely free. LinkedIn.com/scribe. Again, that is LinkedIn.com/scribe to post your first job for free.
All right. So we got some, We'll leave the whole show again. Don't let me forget to ask you who you think is going to win now, because we do that every single week. Okay. So don't let me forget. But let's go to off the court stuff now, because there's plenty of that too. I think we've hit on kind of the on the court stuff to some degree here. Let's start with the all NBA teams. Okay. And Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell missed out on $33 million.
It's just preposterous.
$33 million.
The idea of a contract being structured on the whims of you, people like you and me, you know, and not that I know we can talk about whether I feel we should be voting and all that, but it's just ridiculous that the amount of money at stake.
Yeah,
just they're making a third team as opposed to this blew me away when I first found out.
I was texting with Tatum earlier in the day. I said, "Are you nervous?" And he texts me back. He's like, "Wouldn't you be with $32 million?" And people will say, "Well, he's making this, making $30 million." I get it, but that's still $32 million.
I don't know how we come to this. How a team comes to this?
It's a dumb setup, Bob. Is what it is.
Back, you know, we all go back. You know, way back, prehistoric Red when Red still the running the Celtics, and Red used to talk about this all the time. About guys with contracts, and guys said, "I want a bonus for making the All-Star team." And he said, "Hey, for what I'm paying you, you damn well better make the All-Star team." You know, that end of story.
Yeah.
See you later. They close the door when you go out, you know? And okay, so now we come to this.
Jimmy Butler got 9 first place votes, Bob. 9 first place votes. I don't understand that. It's a lock 100% that Tatum and Donovan Mitchell should be on it, but you can make a valid case they should be on it ahead of Jimmy Butler, ahead of Kyrie, ahead of who else?
Paul George should be on there too.
Right.
Now Rudy makes third team. Yep. There's a so-called center on each team. You know, Jokic is 1, Embiid's 2, and Rudy's 3. You got to have a center. I still believe in paying homage to traditional basketball by finding a center. I have no problem with that. But when I look at Butler and George as opposed to what Tatum did, I, I'm I think I could. And for Mitchell, I would.
And Tatum's played. He played like 10 more games than both Butler and George.
Yeah, I would say he hasn't completely. Now, back to the issue of voting. In the old days, you know, I think having the media vote is fine, except now with this money. And this goes back, and you know, we found out in baseball that there were incentives for MVP. And, you know, yep. And of course, the New York Times will not allow their people to vote. And period. Now, this has been going on for a couple of decades. I don't know how there may be there are others. I think I don't know how many or who. I don't know if you know offhand.
I don't know anybody else.
The New York Times doesn't allow their people to vote.
Right.
And I used to laugh and scoff at it. And then when something like this happens, you understand the reasoning, yeah. Or at least I assume that's
how, the. How would you do it, Bob? Would you have a mix? Like, I don't mind a few media people that are really, really good and a few mixed with some players, mixed with some executives. But the problem you run into then, if you include executives, is think about this.
they got
something that, you know, they have, listen, Jason Tatum now, what that did was help the Boston Celtics by him not get that extra $32 million. It helped the Utah Jazz. That Donovan Mitchell didn't get the $32-33 million. So obviously executives have something in this, right? They have, you know, something, whether it's good, bad, whatever, they're not going to be completely objective. Nobody is. I feel like the players are the best ones to vote on this.
You would think that.
Are they voting for their buddies?
My skepticism on that one goes 50 years of experience in the business, you'd be surprised how often players don't know what the hell they're talking about. And all they know is who they saw against them.
Right.
And sure. Then there's the buddy thing. Some players are perfectly and totally well qualified to do it. And others aren't. It's, yep. I'm sorry. More than you, not as many as people think. I'm sorry.
So then you just don't tie it. What you're saying is, the contract is the contract. There should be no incentive to making an All NBA team,
right? And that would then we wouldn't have this problem. But boy, I'm still blown away by this number. I mean, $1 million, $500,000, $32 million. What this?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, it's an amazing amount of money.
I heard about that. So anyway, that's A, and B is I think he deserved to make it, and Tatum did, and that's that. But so wow, there's a story. All right,
let's move on to the final part of the show, which is kind of going down some of these coaching vacancies. Now you got six of them.
We got a new one. No, it's Scotty Brooks. Bye bye.
I want you to rank them 1 to 6 right now, Bob. All right, okay. I'm going to read you the six.
Go ahead.
I'll give you my rankings first. That might make it easier for you right now. All right. So the six are in no particular order right now.
Wait, now, what are we ranking? The order of preference, the best to worst job.
Best to worst job.
Best to worst. All right.
Best to worst. The jobs out there are Indiana, Portland, Boston, New Orleans, Orlando, Washington.
All right. Okay.
You got them?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Indiana, Portland.
Yep.
Yep.
New Orleans.
NL. Yep.
Boston.
Yep.
Orlando, Washington.
Okay. Okay. Fine.
So you got the six.
Okay.
Number one for me is your Boston Celtics. They got a 23-year-old star in Jason Tatum, a 24-year-old all-star in Jaylen Brown. And last I checked, there's still plenty of tradition there. So I'm giving that to them at one. Number two, a little bit tougher. Do you agree with me on that or no?
Yes.
Number two is a little bit tougher, Bob. You could make a case maybe Portland's got the best player of everybody remaining and Damian Lillard. You could make a case for Indiana, potentially, for your boy Sabonis and Miles Turner and Caris LeVert, and they got some good players there. You can make a case for New Orleans. They got a kid named Zion, right? They got Zion down there. I'm going to let you go first because
I'm going to go. And this is a heart overhead because you mentioned I love Sabonis.
Yeah.
And I like some of those players, but I really love Sabonis. And boy, he had a, what a month he had that is people didn't pay any attention to, you know, just go back folks and look up what Donatas Sabonis did to end the season, like the last 3 to 4 weeks. OMG right there. Okay. And then I go Portland for obvious reasons, except that the Lillard thing appears to be in flux, right, in a sense, but that backcourt is good for, you know, 50 to 60 points every night, you know? Okay, Portland. And then I go Zion. We're four.
New Orleans, four.
And why? I can't even. Orlando has become such an anonymous, amorphous, irrelevant.
So well.
So I go Washington because we know, at least we tell you, we got, you know, that those two guys at least. And then I go Orlando, who have become a forgotten entity in the NBA.
I don't know how to rank them. New Orleans, Portland, and Indiana. I'm with you. I like Indiana's talent. I just don't know if they have a star. And I don't think you can win without a superstar. Like Sabonis is your superstar. But again, you can't give him the ball and go say, you know, make a play. That's not what he does.
Kind of, he's not that kind of player. He's a wonderful number two. He's a wonderful number two.
So I would say Portland for me, only because you have a chance with Lillard and McCollum, if you keep them around, to go deep in the playoffs every single year.
And if the big guy can stay healthy.
Right, right.
You know, Nurkic, he's...
And Zach Collins. Even Zach Collins.
Yeah, Zach Collins. I loved him coming. I loved him at Gonzaga.
So I might go Portland number two right now, which I think will probably shock a lot of people.
Really not when you got those two guys, you know, now assuming that Lillard stays put.
Yeah, that's the key.
I know that Knicks fans have been happy to go out and pick him up at the airport. In fact, they'd be happy to drive a caravan, you know, to go pick him up out there. But that may not be happening.
How shocked were you when you saw that Stan Van Gundy lasted?
Never. I he's an engaging character. He's the greatest post game maybe ever. Yep. But he was a wrong fit from day one.
Yeah.
I think for that group.
You need somebody that's going to be able to connect with those young guys better.
Yeah. I want him back, you know, kibitzing, but I'm sorry. No, he's had enough chances to prove what he is as an NBA coach.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the hard part was, you know, you kind of fell in love with him even more on TV.
Oh, I listen to Dan Levitard. He's a frequent guest with Dan Levitard. The podcast is very, he's hilarious.
Hilarious.
That was good. I love the Van Gundy brothers. I mean, I'm so happy, Jeff. I want Jeff to stay what he's doing forever and ever too. So that's good for me. But anyway, that was a wrong fit. They made the right move there. So, you know, and somebody's going to have the pleasure of coaching Zion, no doubt. But they need more. I'm sorry.
You know what I've been hearing a lot of people in basketball execs and that I've talked to lately that are really down on Zion, really down on him, and feel like this NBA game does not fit Zion. And, you know, again, he's kind of an undersized five man and can't shoot it and doesn't guard and he'll put up his numbers. But can you win with Zion as your number one guy? Probably not. And Brandon Ingram to me never will, like, that's not him either. So you got a bunch of good players.
Yeah, they're good.
I always felt like Lonzo and Zion together, while they're a highlight tandem because Alonzo's ability to throw the lob and get Zion easy buckets. To have two guys that aren't really threats shooting the ball from the perimeter, you can't do that these days.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, Ball Brothers, we salute the quite legitimate Rookie of the Year, don't you think,
LaMelo? Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people would say Anthony Edwards, but to me, when LaMelo was on the court, he was way better than I – and Anthony Edwards was better too. But the difference for me was, like, Charlotte – was actually competitive.
Yeah.
Like Charlotte was a good team. Imagine if they had a healthy Gordon Hayward at the end, Charlotte might've advanced.
Oh yes. Yeah. No, I just, of course, will we ever see a healthy.
I don't. Yeah. I hate to say it, but probably not.
So we all agree that Orlando is the worst.
Orlando is the worst. Celtics are the best. I think Washington's clearly five out of those six. And then.
All right. I'm just moving in terms of coaching.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done, will one of the coaches be a female or not?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Will it happen? Will it happen eventually?
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I just don't know. It's going to take an owner. It's not going to take a GM. I don't think a GM is going to make that decision. That's going to be an ownership decision. And here's my question. I think the decision's going to come down to when Pop retires.
Well,
that's the biggest decision.
Well, I'm talking about, yeah, obviously he would want, I think he would readily appoint himself if he could appoint Becky Hammon, of course.
Can't he? You don't think Pop will have major say to RCW?
I think that's that's the obvious one. But I mean, meanwhile, there's six jobs out there now and her name is being put out as a candidate because she's got the credentials, you know, of all the potential women she's got the credentials of the experience in the NBA. Carol Lawson, of course, name gets thrown out, but she, you know, very limited in Boston time wise and hasn't even had a chance to coach Duke yet, you know, I might be a little early for her,
Becky Hammon would be the one, right? Yeah. Becky Hammon's certainly the one you would think of would have the best shot here. And I don't know. I mean, I think Portland probably, from everything I'm hearing, Chauncey Billups is the favorite there. You know, some of these other jobs, we'll see if it's recycled guys or, you know, young guys that are coming up.
That pulled nothing we're talking about, but you're the person to ask. I saw a name that got me excited yesterday and on a crawl. What can you tell me, if anything, about the young Marshallonis who was going to St. Mary's?
I don't know.
Other than he's Sarunas's kid.
Yeah, I know nothing. I know this. Randy Bennett at St. Mary's does one heck of a job recruiting international kids. So my guess is the younger Marshallonis is probably a talented kid, and Randy Bennett's one of the best coaches in college basketball. One of the best, like, developers of talent, just ball coaches. So I'm excited to see him. And St. Mary's, they need talent right now. They've kind of fallen off a little bit.
Especially with their arch rival is going to come back with a vengeance, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, Gonzaga. Listen, if you haven't, you need to see the duo of Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren this season. You need to circle that one in November for any Gonzaga game, any non-conference Gonzaga game. But all right, well, listen, Bob, we'll wrap here with our usual. Who, in your opinion, today, who do you have winning the NBA title?
I'm going to stick with the Nets. That they'll get Harden, maybe not Kyrie. I don't see a team they can't beat. That's all I'm saying. I want to root now. My rooting interest starts, you know, obviously I'm a friend of Doc, but I would say I like Phoenix and I like to see Phoenix do it. But I just think you can't, I'm not dismissing the Nets. They still frighten me.
I'm going Milwaukee to come back. Beat the Nets, and if they do, I think then they have the momentum. Yeah, like obviously, these next two games are key.
But I mean, I'd say, but anybody, put your money down at your peril. There's just too much uncertainty out there in so many ways this year, which is fun. It's like fun of being a sports fan. This is what makes sports great. You don't know. This isn't like going to the theater, folks, or the museum. You don't know, and that's why we love it.
No, you don't know, and come back next week and you'll find out a little bit more and who's left standing, and unfortunately who's left standing.
By the way, I'm just saying, this is my homage to the Clippers' wonderful victory, their victory last night. This is one of my favorite places on earth. Are you familiar with it?
I have not. We never close. What is it?
The Pantry. It's called the Pantry. It's been open since 1920. And second location since 1950. It's two blocks from the Staples.
Ah, nice.
It's the ninth in Figueroa. It is the greatest breakfast you'll ever have. And not just breakfast, but breakfast is their specialty.
Maybe Paul George had it before his incredible performance of not only scoring, but getting 16 rebounds last night. And we'll see if he can. If he can do that with Kawhi out, but
that was a big statement show for him because there was pressure on him, and there was obviously pressure on him without Kawhi. But in general terms, you know, the idea of stepping up at these big games and that kind of thing, That was a big performance. So, yeah.
And we cannot close without giving some kudos to your Boston College Eagle, Reggie Jackson, and his resurgence.
He found himself out there at this stage of his career. Yeah.
He never lacks for confidence, Bob. Ever, never, ever has lacked for confidence. So I like Reggie. Reggie was always fun to cover here in Boston. And, you know, it's playoff Reggie right now, and playoff Rondo has been nowhere to be found.
Well, speaking of BC and one of their former coaches, Friday, the 18th of June at 2 o'clock in Worcester, Massachusetts, they will be dedicating a statue outside the DCU Center to the one and only Robert Joseph Cousy, who coached Boston College from 1963 to 1969, plus anybody remember among his other accomplishments. Nice. And coached them very well.
Will you be there for this?
I will be there. In fact, I'm honored to be one of the speakers.
Ah, very nice.
So looking forward to that.
So it's when?
On Friday afternoon, June 18th. Friday, June 18th in Worcester, Mass at 2 p.m.
All right. Very nice. All right. Very nice.
Very good. All right.
All right. We'll see you next week, and I'm sure we will have plenty more to talk about, hopefully more about the players on the court than the ones who are not able to play.